The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, very interesting that the viewers are weighing in on our personal discussion about taking leave, so we won't go there.
Yeah, that is quite funny because, Anthony, you'll be away when? From Monday?
Right, next week.
Right, so in fact,
although unfortunately not quite on leave, but I unfortunately will be away. But hopefully you will actually be taking a break when you go away.
Yeah, I'm certainly going to try. It's been a year,
Anthony. It has been a year. I think the listeners should go easy on you. I think you deserve a break, and then they can expect you to come back with renewed enthusiasm and energy in the new year, and that will all go down very well.
I don't know if I'd cope with my renewed energy, but yes, let's talk about a few different things before we start.
There's so many different things that I want to talk about, as well as getting to some meaty things. But I want to start with a story that I don't know if it's like an April Fool's story or if this is real, but it's been carried in quite a number of the Israeli newspapers. And so I'm going to just tell the story as it is related, which is a story about a woman from Jerusalem who was so concerned about 10,000 shekels in banknotes that she was holding at home because she thought that there might be corona on those banknotes, that she decided to put them, wearing gloves, of course, she put them apparently into a bowl of bleach and microwave. As you do. And the result of that was that the banknotes were set on fire and were incinerated. So she then called the Bank of Israel, and she apologized to them for burning their money. And she told them that she intended to replace the money, but that unfortunately her financial situation didn't permit this at the moment. And so she was asking them to defer the repayment of the money that she had burnt until a later date when she could afford to replace it. Apparently the Bank of Israel, after investigating this, decided that they would reimburse her the 10,000 shekels that she had burnt in the microwave. So all's well that ends well.
What an amazing
very,
story.
Very strange story.
Very, very bizarre, but really wonderful.
And it sort of ties into, the corona situation in Israel. The corona cabinet did meet yesterday. Effectively, they decided to renew all the current restrictions or issues, the way that we're dealing with things, everything that is currently in place was simply renewed without any change, in spite of the uptick that we're now seeing in the number of corona cases. And I understand that the uptick is being attributed mostly to the younger generation, so to those who have not been vaccinated in the 5 to 11 age group, we're now rolling that out, and also to some degree to the 12 to 18-year-olds who were vaccinated around June, July time and who are due a booster injection now. So it seems as if the impact of that initial vaccination program, which is almost now 5-6 months ago, has run its course. And we understand that the idea will be to try somehow to booster that particular group of young people in order to somehow protect and prevent the further outbreak of corona in Israel, particularly as we move into Hanukkah. There are some concerns about people getting together over Hanukkah. And so people have been warned to try to put whatever restrictions are necessary in place to prevent any big outbreak over Hanukkah. So that's the corona update as we have it at the moment. Another quick snippet story that I wanted to talk about. There was another report of a missile strike in Syria. Two people apparently killed, civilians reported to have been killed, six soldiers wounded in this particular attack near homes this time around. Again, it's just part of the same story, apparently supply of hardware, arms and ammunition that was being targeted, Israel once again being blamed. You know, the usual story, most of the missiles were shot down. It was very only one or two that managed to slip through the net, but ultimately it seems like it did some damage. Australia has declared all of Hezbollah as a terror organization. Boker Tov, as they would say.
Yeah,
welcome.
Absolutely, but at least it did happen in the end.
It did happen in the end, and I was fascinated to see the words that were used by the Australian minister who declared that Hezbollah will be all of Hezbollah, not just Hezbollah, but now we're talking about all of Hezbollah.
I noted because that. Of course, that's interesting.
Yeah, Hezbollah is divided up into all kinds of different organizations. Up until now, the military wings, the military units of Hezbollah, were declared terror organizations, but not, for example, the political wing, not, for example, the fundraising arm. They're all different arms. And so now they've decided to declare all of Hezbollah as a terror organization. The Home Affairs Minister, Karen Andrews, said that Hezbollah poses a real and credible threat to Australia and provides support to other groups. In her words, very, very fascinating way of declaring that follows on the heels. By the way, interesting to know which countries have declared Hezbollah as a terror organization aside from Israel. Of course, the United States, the Arab League, and the interestingly, Saudi Arabia has actually placed the financial arm of Hezbollah on its terror blacklist rather than the operational arm, rather than the you know, the combat units, and the financial arm has been placed on the list of terror units, terror organizations in Saudi Arabia. We don't see the same coming from other Western countries to the same extent, European countries, and of course South Africa. Well, you know where that all stands at the moment, so we'll just leave that where it is. Apple has filed a lawsuit against Israeli technology company NSO, which is the producer of Pegasus software, which has been used to hack into various devices, including iPhones, and send information back to those who have hacked the phones. This hacking has been done extremely sophisticated way, and uses weaknesses in the operating system of the device in question in order to somehow exploit the weakness to break in to the operating system, plant on the on the phone the ability to control the camera, to hear the microphone, and to get information that's on that phone from all the information that's on the phone from the user of that phone. So now Apple has decided that this is not okay. Obviously, this has been done without Apple's authorization or without them being involved at all. They've decided this is not okay. First of all, they seem to have plugged the little hole in their operating system, which was being exploited. But also, they've now sued NSO, and they have prevented them from having any use of any Apple device whatsoever. So the fact that obviously NSO have used Apple devices in order to try this out in their lab and things like that, apparently now that has all been made illegal, or at least Apple have decided that the NSO will not be allowed to do that any longer, and they've actually filed a lawsuit against them. There are some reports that suggest that NSO is actually in a bankruptcy situation as a result of some of the issues that it's confronted. Very, very smart technology, very smart people being used for purposes that's highly controversial and potentially could mean their downfall at the end of the day.
Wow, absolutely fascinating stories. Defense Minister Benny Gantz is in Rabat today to try and strengthen security cooperation between Israel and Morocco. Why is security between Israel and Morocco important?
Well, I think that this is just plugging the gaps and reaching out a little bit further to allow Israeli intelligence to pick up whatever is going on out there. And of course, Morocco, being in its geographical location in North Africa, plugged into some of the countries in the North African Arab world countries, and also connected to the rest of the Muslim and Arab world, I think that it's been decided that Morocco could potentially be helpful to allow Israeli intelligence just to get a little bit of a different perspective, just to try and to try and tap into whatever information is going out there that might be useful to help Israel protect itself and to try to preempt attacks against Israel, to try to preempt potential attacks against Jewish targets elsewhere in this world, Israeli targets elsewhere in the world. So I think that Morocco just is part of the jigsaw that the Israeli security services are trying to put together to try and get information from as many different sources as possible, to try and have access to as many different security organizations as possible. And of course, this just helps to cement the new diplomatic relations that have been established with Morocco since the agreement, the peace agreement, diplomatic relations were entered into only in December last year. And in fact, it's also interesting that as part of the budding relationship between Israel and Morocco, a number of people who died as a result of a COVID virus during the early part of last year from the Moroccan Jewish community, and their remains have been reinterred in Israel. Their bodies were brought to Israel last week in cooperation with the Chevra Kedisha in their local community in Marrakesh, as well as in cooperation with the local community here in Israel. And they have been reinterred in Israel, something which would not have been possible before the new agreements were signed, and yet now has been made possible. A total of 7 Jewish victims of COVID. Unfortunately, COVID ripped through the Moroccan Jewish community as a result, we think, of probably Purim parties last year, and there were a number of different victims, and some of those have now been reinterred in Israel. Mm,
absolutely incredible defense. The President Herzog, met yesterday with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Amazing photos being taken just outside 10 Downing.
And in fact, inside 10 Downing Street, I saw some very nice pictures showing President Isaac Herzog sitting alongside Prime Minister Boris Johnson inside of Downing Street. The meeting apparently was extremely friendly. They conducted a press conference where they both seemed to be very active in giving their points of view. From what we can gather, Prime Minister Boris Johnson was very much understanding the matter that that President Herzog brought about Iran. He referred to it by saying that you know, about the point about Iran is also well made, was the way that Boris Johnson chose to address this. And he said that we see a situation in which the world doesn't have much time. So I think that is a really interesting and important position for the British Prime Minister to be taking. What he chooses to do about this situation with Iran following those quite encouraging words remains to be seen, but obviously a very, very friendly situation. Israel and the UK government, the Israeli government, the UK government have good friendly relations. There is lots of diplomatic activity that goes backwards and forwards. We have our moments from time to time when we don't necessarily see eye to eye on everything. But of course, current situation is that there's nice warm feeling between the two governments, and we certainly felt that reflected at 10 Downing Street yesterday. And President Herzog also had the opportunity to meet with other community leaders yesterday. Some nice pictures showing him with representatives of the Jewish Agency in the UK, along with local community leaders, and of course the Israeli ambassador to the UK, Tzipi Khotoveli. He seems to have had a fairly successful trip to the UK, once again being very cautious not necessarily to represent a particular political view when talking about what Israel needs and wants, but rather to be representing the formal and official view of the Israeli government. He would have been briefed by the Prime Minister and by ministers before leaving to the UK as to what he should be doing. It seems as if the visit has all been very good and very encouraging.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible. And a new witness in the Netanyahu trial has revealed some interesting insights into his work with a former prime minister. Just before you start that, I saw an amazing video of the Netanyahus visiting the Kay family yesterday as they sat shiva for their son Eli. Unbelievable response from the Israeli government.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to talk about, go back to the Kay situation. I mean, I think Israel has really wrapped its arms around the Kay family as much as is possible in order to take them through what is a very difficult period. And of course, the Netanyahu family is no exception. But of course, in the background, we do have the trial of former Prime Minister Netanyahu, and Nir Chefetz is the latest witness to take the stand, speaking out against the Prime Minister. Now, he's interesting because he was actually somebody who worked very, very closely with the Prime Minister at the time, the former Prime Minister in his day. He was a communications advisor to the Prime Minister, and he has now decided to turn state witness in order to give evidence effectively against former Prime Minister Netanyahu. And the press said that Nir Chefetz has painted a picture of Netanyahu being obsessed with the media, and one could argue that this is what led to his downfall, because the media ultimately also became obsessed with him. And Nir Chefetz was talking about how the prime minister at the time was potentially more interested in some of the press coverage that he and his family were gaining, instead of being focused on security matters that were confronting Israel at the same time. There were apparently moments when he was in security briefings and they were interrupted in order for the former prime minister to be briefed about some of the latest media reports that were being carried about him, rather than focusing on security issues. This is at least the type of evidence that Nir Chefetz began to give in this trial. Former Prime Minister Netanyahu did attend the trial the day before yesterday, but it seems as if Nir Chefetz is going to be on the stand for some time yet to come. So I'm guessing that there will still be a lot more interesting information, including when he becomes goes through cross-examination, and Netanyahu's team have their opportunity to ask him questions. I'm guessing that that's also going to be quite fascinating.
It will. I have no doubt about that. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you. We'll speak to you tomorrow morning at 7:45 for all the latest news from Israel. It's 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.